Thank you, Dwight. You know, we all ought to be true-hearted, wholehearted servants of God. But you know, in today's world, there are those that we often refer to as half-hearted Christians, not true-hearted, not wholehearted, not deeply committed Christians, but those who are only half-hearted, lackadaisical Christians. If you've been reading the paper in the last week or so, you will take note of the fact that there's been a lot of counterfeiting going on in our community. As a matter of fact, several were recently arrested for passing counterfeit money. Those people were from out of town. You wouldn't like to think that we have people in our community that would do that. But these people were from out of town. And they were passing counterfeit $20 bills, $50 bills, and so on. Would you be able to spot counterfeit money? You know, a lot of people say, oh, sure, I'd know a counterfeit and the real thing. But would you? There are some bills that are real and some that are fake. They are. And not every piece of currency that passes your palm is really legitimate or genuine. It isn't. Because some pass the test and some are fake. But could you really tell the difference between the legitimate or the real thing? Could you? You see, when you mix the doctrine of Christ with the doctrine of men, you have what we call false doctrine. False doctrine. You can go to the next slide, George. We have a lot of people today that are trying to mix the Word of God with the doctrines of men. And in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. How much error does it take to pollute truth? You ever thought about that? Doesn't take very much. Doesn't take a whole lot of error to pollute the truth of Almighty God. And when you mix the doctrine of Christ with the doctrines of men, it equals false doctrine. There is a pen that is called the currency validator pen. You may have seen this. If you've ever gone into a place of business, most generally, if you give them a $20 bill, they'll take that pen out and they'll make a mark on it. That's called a currency validator pen. And it leaves a little mark on the currency that you hand them, but it will soon fade away. It goes away. If that currency is legitimate and if it is real. You know, we have a lot of people today in our world that are more concerned about counterfeit money than they are counterfeit Christianity. It is true. We have a lot of people today that are more interested in money than they are their soul. We want to make sure that we have the right money in our pocket. We don't want counterfeit, but we're not really so concerned about counterfeit Christianity. But you know, even the devil himself often transforms himself into an angel of light. He appears to be very wholesome and very good. You know, if you wanted to create something to deceive people, you would want to create something that so closely resembles the real thing that you can't hardly tell the difference. There is a difference between a diamond and a cubic zirconia. But you know what? Just with the naked eye, it's very hard to be able to determine the difference, isn't it? Looks pretty real. We have folks all over the nation that are selling fake purses, watches, with the brand name on it. Rolex, but they're not a Rolex. Dooney Burke purses, but they're not. They're counterfeit. Do you know every day in America, attacks are being made on the Word of God? The real thing. They are. I've often wondered why the media has been attacking Christianity and those who believe in God. And it happens. It happens on the Rachel Maddow show, if you've ever seen her. Bill Maher. But why are all these attacks being made against those who profess to be believers in God? There are so many people that claim to be Christians that are not. Our responsibility as God's people is to unmask the counterfeit Christian. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that Jesus preached to counterfeit religious folks every day in his ministry? Now, Jesus didn't call them he didn't call them counterfeit, but he called them hypocrite. They professed one thing, but they did another. They claimed to be something that they were not. Now, on the outside, they appeared to be very religious and very astute and very wise and people that love God. But Jesus said on the outside, they appeared in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they were nothing but ravening wolves. He called them one time whited sepulchres because they were dead within. This morning, I want us to talk about the dangers of counterfeit Christianity. You know, if you go to the doctor and you have some kind of malady going on in your body, the doctor will generally prescribe medication for you. Now, if you've ever gone through a study, a medical study, sometimes they will give people the real thing, but sometimes they just give them what we call a placebo. That's not the real thing. Doesn't have anything in it at all that's going to help you. It's called a placebo. But it makes you think that you're getting well. It makes you feel that you're all right. Do you know that the religious world today is being bombarded with placebos? There is no value in what they're being taught. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all remember Curtis Mathis TVs? Anybody in here remember the Curtis Mathis TV? Curtis Mathis used to have a logo on their products that said, "The quality goes in before the name goes on." Now, we got a lot of folks today that are wearing that name, Christian, but there is no quality to their Christianity. They're counterfeit. They are. Well, how would you know the difference? Now, I'm not here to talk really so much about counterfeit money because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure I could tell the difference. But I can tell the difference between counterfeit Christians and those who are genuine. And I can tell you the difference between truth and error when it comes to the Word of God. There are several things we need to recognize. First of all, number one, we need to admit that everyone who claims to be a child of God is not a child of God or a Christian. Well, we got all kind of people claiming to be Christians. Just like we got a lot of folks in America today claiming to be Americans. We got a lot of folks today in America claiming to be married when in reality they're not married. How many of you saw the lovely wedding at the Christian church up in Dallas yesterday between two old men who looked like they were about 80 years old? Now, they couldn't get married by civil law, but they went through what they called a mock wedding. I thought, how lovely. No, I thought, how debased and how ungodly. There are a lot of folks in the world that claim to be Christians, but there's a difference between making a claim and being who you say you are. We must identify the false teacher. Jesus said, "Beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. That's why we in churches of Christ believe in preaching sound doctrine. Not some false doctrine, not some concocted doctrine of mankind, but sound doctrine. That's what Paul told us to preach and teach. We are to preach the Holy Scripture simply and not go beyond what is written. For if you read in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says that we're not to add to the Word of God, nor are we to take away from the Word of God. But we got a lot of folks today that believe that they have the liberty to take away and cut away anything in the Bible that they don't like. And they have the right to add their own opinions, their own beliefs, and still call it Christianity. Let me give you a biblical warning this morning. Sugar-coated preaching is dangerous to your soul. And I'm going to tell you something. I know some weak-kneed preachers who will get up here and preach it like you want it. I know some folks who would preach it and accept you any way you are. But God doesn't. God doesn't. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 4, the Bible says we're to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll desire those things that are of the world and not the things of God. But let me remind you what John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. He said that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, and we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ his Son cleanses us from all of our sin. Listen to what Christ said. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. You first of all have to admit that not everybody who makes that claim is really a child of God. Secondly, we can identify the true believer because he will have the proper attitude towards sin. You know, there's some people today that scoff at sin. There's some people that laugh at it. Preachers preach about it. They blow it off. But let me tell you how damaging sin can be. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys your life. It destroys a nation. It destroys a church. And it's destructive to our own lives. And it sent Jesus to the cross. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, John writes, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, you've heard the old expression that crime does not pay, and it doesn't. Crime doesn't pay, but sin doesn't either. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Romans 3 and verse 23 also states, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We need to accept the fact that sin is a dead-end street. It is. But then thirdly, we need to identify the true believer, and we can, because they will keep the Lord's commands. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus said that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Again, Jesus said to keep my commandments, John 14 and verse 15. And listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. He said, now by this we know that we know him. How do you know you're genuine? How do you know you're not counterfeit? Listen to what he says. For if we keep his commandments, we are known of him. And he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Folks, it doesn't get any plainer than that. But whoso keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. For he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk as he walked. You'll know the true believer because they keep the commandments of God. They don't deviate from it. They don't change what God has said. They understand what God says about everything. They understand what God says about salvation and how a person becomes a Christian. They understand what God says about worship and what is acceptable in worship and what is not acceptable in worship. And all the rationalization that we make in our minds about it doesn't change this word. It doesn't. But number five, we can identify the true believer because they have separated themselves from the world. From the world. Someone said, our problem today is getting the church out into the world and getting too much of the world into the church. And it is true. You see, the world entices us to sin. Devil makes sin very pleasing to us. That's his appeal, isn't it? To get us to follow him. And the counterfeit Christian is leading a lot of folks down the path toward hell. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and perfect will of God. We got too many so-called Christians that are enmeshed in the world, living like the world. As a matter of fact, you can't tell many of the Christians from those who are in the world who are not Christians, because they are so counterfeit. And in 1 John 2, verse 15 and following, the Bible says, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Can't be like the world. But then number six, we can identify the true believer because they know the truth, not only because they know it, but because they accept it. You see, that's the real challenge. The challenge today is not knowing the truth. The truth has been preached time and time again. The real challenge is to accept the truth as it is and then abide in it. Continue in it. The Holy Bible is truth. That's truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, set you free. John 8 and verse 32. The beloved John, while exiled on Patmos, writes these words in 1 John 2, little children, it is the last hour, he says, And you have heard that the Antichrist is going to come. Even now, many Antichrists are gone out into the world, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, genuine, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, that's Jesus, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, he says, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I mentioned a moment ago about that validating pen that tells you whether or not that currency is legitimate or counterfeit. Do you realize that the Holy Scripture is the validating pen? When a man gets up and preaches a lesson, he teaches a class, whatever he is telling you spiritually, you better check it out by the Word of God. For the Word of Jehovah God is the validating pen. It tells you whether what is being said and what is being taught is right or whether it is wrong. That's why the Bible says that the Bereans were more noble than they of Thessalonica, inasmuch as they searched the Holy Scriptures to see if the things that were taught were so. If it was right. How would you know whether someone is really telling the truth spiritually if you didn't know the book? That's why Christians need to start growing and getting back into the book. Get to the Word of God. Let the Bible be the detection pen between what is genuine and what is counterfeit. But then number 7. We can identify the true Christian from the counterfeit because they accept Jesus Christ. And I'm not just saying they believe that He's the Son of God. Listen to 1 John 2, verse 22 and following. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. To acknowledge the Father means that we obey the Father. It is not enough for us to say, I believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Even Jesus taught that. James taught it when he said, your faith without your works is dead. Many of those hypocrites that Jesus addressed every day in his personal ministry, publicly and even privately, he called them hypocrites because their walk did not match their talk. They said one thing, but they did another. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You see, the real measure of success in life is whether one has obeyed the gospel of Christ. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about how happy your marriage is or how well adjusted your children are. It's not about how many degrees you have hanging on your wall. It's not about whether you're running for office or running from it. It's about whether you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus. That is the difference between life and death. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, John says, he who abides in him, who says he abides in him, ought himself to walk just as he walked, as Jesus walked. You see, in reality, Jesus said, if you believe in him and you do not repent of your sins, you are only a counterfeit if you claim to be a Christian. Because a Christian has to stop doing the bad, he has to change his way of thinking, and he has to start doing the good. That's what repentance is really all about. That's what the word means. Metanoia, it means to change your mind. But if you believe in him and you're willing to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you become the real thing. And you know what the real thing is? Just simply a Christian. A Christian. Some are genuine Christians and some are Christian frauds. You see, the real deal boils down to this. Is your faith authentic or is it counterfeit? You see, God knows whether or not we are genuine, whether we are legit, or whether we are fake. Now, Jesus says a person must be born twice. Sometimes it's hard for people to grasp that. People have to be born twice. But in the third chapter of the book of John, verses 3 through 5, there was a man that came to Jesus one night and said, Master, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no man can do these things that you're doing except God be with him. And Jesus said, Marvel not, Nicodemus, that I say unto you, you must be born again. And you said, well, how can I do this? Can I enter my mother's womb the second time, be born again? He said, Marvel not. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. No man can see God short of being immersed or baptized for the remission of his sins. We have to be born twice. This is what Christ said. What a heartbreak it would be to live an almost Christian life. Almost. And then almost get into heaven. Almost. Think about this. If you reject Jesus Christ, and he was just a man, you lose nothing. But if he is God in the flesh, and you reject him, you lose everything. And there is no greater loss. None. Are you legit this morning? Are you a Christian? You know, God gives all of us a choice over our destiny, just as he gives us a choice here in this life about which door we're going to walk through. Whether we're going to allow Jesus to be the door that he claims he is. He said, I am the door, and no man comes to the Father except through him. Or whether you will walk through the door that has been counterfeited by Satan himself that leads to an eternal hell and a banishment from God. You have a choice to make this morning. Maybe you didn't come here planning to make a choice. But you're confronted with a choice this morning. Either to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, thereby repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of all those transgressions to be forgiven, and being raised to walk in that newness of life, having been born again of the water and the Spirit, or the choice not to. Now, you can go through life claiming to be a Christian. We got a lot of folks swam the Rio Grande claiming to be Americans. And we got a lot of folks today, and they keep echoing it up in Washington. We need to do something about immigration reform. Let me tell you something. No reform will ever be made concerning how a man gets into heaven and how he becomes a Christian. There will be no reform. What God says is true. And any preacher standing in a pulpit thumping the Bible and telling you anything short of the Word of God is a counterfeit. That's why Paul says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." That's why James says, "Be not many masters." Don't be many teachers of the Word of God, knowing you shall receive the greater condemnation. That's why when I stand in this pulpit, it is a serious matter, and I'm very, very careful to present the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning to be the Son of God, you're confronted with a choice. Either to accept his salvation through a penitent attitude and be baptized, or to reject him. And that's a choice you can make. I'm not here trying to make that choice for you. I'm asking you to make that choice. And if you're a Christian and you've only been playing the part, I say this in love, but I say it truthfully. That's nothing but hypocrisy. It's just counterfeit. And let me tell you something. The naked eye may not be able to tell the difference, but there is one who knows the difference. And he's the one who judges. So if you're here this morning and you need to draw closer to God as a Christian, deepen your relationship with him and to seek the forgiveness of your hypocrisy and your counterfeiting, or either to become a Christian. And I hope you will make the choice to serve God while we stand and while we sing.